Hello, Summit League fans. It is just me for now. Jordan should be here shortly. I don't know how long shortly is. I don't know if that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Hopefully not super long because I'm totally unprepared to do this by myself. Also, apologies for sounding hoarse as hell. I realized during the tournament, like on Monday, my throat like started to hurt. And I was like, this is odd. I really hope I'm not getting sick. Like, it's midterms. I have to go back. I have to go to class. I have to take exams. Like, I have to do all the things. And then it hit me. When you're sitting on media row for 5 days and quite literally screaming just to have a conversation for 5 days over the pep bands. And we love the pep bands. We absolutely love the pep bands. Except ORU, your guitar is too loud. We still love you, but turn it down, you know? But like, I realized that when you're screaming that much, just to talk and trying to talk over bands and being in pep rallies and trying to talk, like that, this is the result that you get. So I don't sound like myself. This is what I sound like for the time being. This is better than I've sounded for the past 4 days or so. Last Wednesday, really bad. Thursday, Friday, really bad. Starting to kind of get better. So yeah, this is where we're at, waiting for Jordan. He'll be here shortly. Before he gets here, just a little recap. Obviously, South Dakota State won the Summit League tournament on the women's side, on the men's side as well, but on the women's side. Played North Dakota State in the championship game, so we did end up with the 1 and 2 seeds in that situation. Close game for a long time. There were several points where I was so excited as a media member because we love good matchups, but also freaking out internally because I obviously went to one of those two schools and feel strongly in one direction. So that was fun. It was a super good time. I had a great time in the tournament. I know Jordan had a great time. It was year three for me, year two for him. He took a year off in the middle and wasn't there last year. So it was super fun. Got to see a lot of people. Huge thanks to everyone at the Summit League, Ryan Powell, Michael Palmer, Aubrey Loffenberg, Keenan Dixon, Sarah, Mindy Kay, all the people who quite literally make this happen. It may look, you know, wrapped up in a bow and perfect on the outside. It's not. When we were trying to vote for final awards on the women's side, the voting wasn't working, like literally during the game. There's tons of stuff that they have to run around and fix all the time. So props to them for keeping it running, making it beautiful and pretty and lovely, and giving us all a great experience. Props to the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. Teams, players, pep bands, cheerleaders. Shout out to Sioux Falls Roosevelt High pep band for filling in as St. Thomas's band when you have 1,000 other things going on, like show choir competitions. That was pretty cool. You guys were amazing. Even wearing the purple and supporting them, that was fantastic. We have a few things to talk about tonight. One of them is, where is Jordan? I would really prefer that he be here so that I'm not chilling by myself. 4 Summit League teams are playing in the postseason. Actually, before we get to that, a couple of things. North Dakota announced like Thursday or Friday that assistant coach Travis Blaisdell and recruiting coordinator Sabra Wimberly will not be returning. So there's that. I guess have opinions or anything to share on that. Obviously I wish them the best. I hope that they find their place, even though it's not at North Dakota. I did watch Mallory Bernhard's press conference. It was a little, I don't want to say hard to watch. It was intense. I feel like if you watched that, you could feel the uncertainty about what happened this season, but also like there were some comments she made, like, we know, my staff and I know what we need, we know what we're looking for in terms of players. Like, it was uncertain, and maybe like weirded out by the result this year, but also positive that she knows what she wants and what she is out to get in the coming years. So I guess that's good. Go watch that if you haven't. I will let you make your own, I guess, reaction. I'm curious to see what you guys think about that. But obviously not the best year for them. The press conference after their game where they lost was pretty tough. I have cried, teared up in two press conferences ever. One was Kansas City's last year after they lost, and the other was the North Dakota press conference this year. I'm a sympathy crier. I'm a mirror. Like, if you cry, I'm going to cry. Casey was crying. It was emotional, as it should have been. I mean, as she should. I know Brian Sean from Midco got up and gave her a hug, and I was like, God damn it, Brian. Like, I was crying. It was sad. Nobody really asked Mallory any questions except for me. I asked her one, but not really about the game. She came in and made a statement about, like, the game is what it is, and you guys can have questions about the game, but, like, this is bigger than that, and it's unfortunate. We wanted to send our seniors out with win, and obviously Casey has put herself in the history books, and it was a very emotional press conference. But I think that Casey's going to be missed by coaches, players, fans. Obviously an incredible talent, third all-time UND scoring, and tons of other places in the record books for Casey Brnovich. Similarly, the NDSU press conference was a tad bit emotional, if you will. They are obviously in the WNIT and will get to play, so it's thankfully not the end of the road for them. But Heaven Hamling, such a great person. She was up there saying how, like, she just hopes she inspired young girls, and she was like, I know I'll be forgotten in like 3 years. And all of us are kind of looking around the room like, no, probably not. Like, I don't think that's how that works. But yeah, super great experience. Thankful to have been there and experienced the Summit League tournament again. Guys, where's Jordan? Because I don't want to get into like what we're talking about tonight without him. Let me text him. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. The Summit League tournament broke a 5-day attendance record. Over, God, what is it? I don't do math. The men's was 36,000 something and the women's was 36,000 something. So together that's 72,000 something. Like 72.5, I think it was over 72.5. That's insane. That is insane. And to all of you who think the tournament should be moved, I know you're not going to listen to what I have to say because I went to SDSU. Do we have an advantage? Yes, absolutely. Of course we do. Is that enough reason for the tournament to be moved? No. There's too much revenue. I am on the side that says if we're good enough to compete, then we're good enough to compete in Sioux Falls. Players and coaches will tell you, well, some coaches will tell you that they'd much rather play in front of a crowd, even if they're against you, than in front of nobody. I think there's too much revenue. The breaking an attendance record's wild. That's wild. It's literally insane. Also, in terms of women's tournaments, and we've been up there before, but we were up there again this year in terms of women's tournaments. I think it was Big Ten, ACC, SEC, and then the Summit League was fourth for women's attendance. That's insane. That's literally insane. Tough look for the nobody watches women's sports crowd. Obviously, we do. And if you add in the games that were on a weekday afternoon, like, that's wild. So pretty cool that the attendance record was broken. I believe the last time it was, obviously not this high, but the last time a record was set was like 2016, maybe. So that is something to note in that regard. Okay, so let's talk about the teams that are in the WNIT. Firstly, Oral Roberts is in. They will play Grambling State out of the SWAC, I believe Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. Not sure what the broadcast situation is. I would assume, you know what? I won't assume Summit League Network, because in the past, WNIT has gone, well, I shouldn't say WNIT, Triple Crown Sports has gone ESPN Plus. I know that's what they did for volleyball with the NIVC. So actually, let me get back to you on that. Let me see if I can find it really quick on Oral Roberts' schedule and see what it says. Grambling State, there is no broadcast information. We'll tweet it out when we find it, when we know. Probably ESPN Plus, though, but don't quote me on that. These programs have played before, actually, twice, but not under current leadership. Obviously, Kelsey Music's in her second year at ORU, and Grambling State's coach is in her first year. 22-9 overall in her first year. There's Jordan.
Thank you. Up?
What the heck is up?
Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. You should keep your head in front of that light.
Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, geez. Hold on.
See if you can blur your background.
That's what I'm thinking here. I'll be right back. I'm right here. Settings. Okay. What?
Jordan had another technology lesson.
Okay, it's not happening, but whatever.
It's fine. It's fine.
There. How's that? A little better?
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. I was just raving about the attendance record at the Summit League tournament. Overall 5-day attendance, and also the women's attendance being fourth in the country. I was thanking Ryan.
Can you imagine what it would have been like if USD would have been the 2 seed? They would have shattered it even more.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's good things to come for the future, I think. I was just getting into ORU Bling, but actually, before I do that, do you want to talk transfer portal for a hot minute?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, we can start with Denver. Yeah. Jocelyn Wyatt out of Denver is transferring. I was surprised by that. I actually knew that ahead of time, but because she was actually in the portal ahead of time, then I was told that she is a grad transfer. She actually finished in 3 years. They did do a senior day for her, so that was not a surprise to Dosha or the staff there. So I guess not, and it's of note, but it's not like an end of the world transfer. Denver's other transfers were underclassmen that did not play and were not expected to play. So that is the Denver situation. Sidebar, if you're an ACC fan, or if you're not, I am, so I'm going to rant about it. Clemson fired Amanda Butler last week, which I can't say I'm surprised, but I can say I'm upset. If you compare the women's and the men's, it took Brad just as long to do literally anything. I think Amanda maybe shot herself in the foot with her like early success when she came in, but like also kind of pissed, basically. So then they already had a couple grad transfers. Bottom line, Clemson's down to 2 scholarship players, 2 current scholarship players. Maddie Ockham transfer portal, Ruby Whitehorn, who is probably their most upcoming like talent. She was a sophomore, but she's a big recruit. She next year, like she's one of those players that builds, which is what you want. She's in the portal. 5-star recruit Amari Berry released from her national letter of intent. And it's not Clemson now, which those of us who worried about Butler getting fired knew that was going to happen. So, yeah, Clemson is in shambles. Can't say I'm surprised. And I hope they regret it, because I don't think Amanda Butler deserved that. Anyway, that's my rant.
The grass isn't greener on the other side for a majority of these transfers. Like, I don't understand how many more seasons we need to do this where – and I get like we get it from a fan's perspective, and we don't know what goes on like in the locker room and stuff. But a good chunk of these players are leaving because they do think the grass could be greener on the other side. And it, for a good chunk of it, not.
If I came there to play under a certain coach and she got fired, I would leave too.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why they're all leaving. So, like, I'm not upset about that.
What are the odds on Clemson women's basketball winning the ACC championship next year? Plus 5,000?
It's going to be a few years. Anyway, other Summit League transfer news. The only other transfers I've heard are out of USD. One is Joy Bergstrom.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Walker Demers.
So, yeah, Joy didn't play, from what I had heard, not terribly surprised with this one. Walker surprised me a little bit. I don't know, from what I've been trying to find out, like, what the situation is there, if it has something to do with the long, lengthy recruits that USD has coming in next year. There's a 6'1 and 6'2 forward slash, I don't think it's a center, but pretty lengthy players coming in. So I don't know if Natalie's going to get an expanded role. And then with the 6'2 forward coming in, like what that looks like. But Walker was 6 points per game, 4.1 rebounds per game. So far I don't like saying like it looks good because this is people's lives we're talking about. And I wish, and USD fans wish Joy and Walker the best going forward. But if we can keep it as quiet as possible from here on out, referencing us, number 21 of USD, I'm really hoping that she can stay and kind of keep that core together, especially with the recruits coming in, finally getting some size. It's no secret USD is going to probably be going after someone that's a physical post player that can work with Natalie to go up against the Kansas Cities, obviously the SDSU with Brooklyn Meyer next year, the North Dakota States, like to have Oral Roberts to have that size. That's clearly evident that they just need a little bit more experience. Natalie will be good next year, much better next year. Do you want me to run? I do have a list of transfers so far that I found.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, here's the four for Denver: Amari, Madeline Atkins, Reagan Paul, Jocelyn Wyatt. Kansas City, is it Zaire Harrell?
Really?
5'8" sophomore. Here's one with. Can you? And you'll have to remind me and the listeners. Rain Green, but that's looks like a senior. Might have one more year availability. North Dakota. Darcy Jarding.
Mm-hmm.
She is now at Western Colorado, a D2 school. Mahogany Cottingham, 5'8" freshman. And then DJ Davis, a senior. Yep. So must just have that grad year or something. NDSU. I'm so sorry. Grace Mazikoy.
I don't think she played or didn't play much.
3.3 points per game. Omaha Liz Martino, a senior. We talked about USD, and then St. Thomas, Natalie Greenwood, 6'3" sophomore. She is transferred to Trinity, a D3 school.
Okay. So nobody's really lost their core. I would argue that Walker was kind of core, even though she didn't score a lot. She was on the court a lot.
She was a post presence. So that's why it's kind of stat-wise, right? It's not that big of a loss, but presence-wise and what she was able to do defensively, I think it's going to be a hindsight loss. Like, what is the coaching staff going to bring in to make up for that hole that's going to be missing with the Walker League?
Right. Yeah. None of the rest of those really surprised me. I did know of Mahogany Cottingham, just because at the beginning, I mean, Mallory played everybody at the beginning. Mm-hmm. She was trying to figure it out. There were 15 combinations of girls on the floor. But other than that, and I mean, Jocelyn Wyatt, which we talked about, she was probably the one, besides Walker, the one that played the most out of the people that are transferring.
Yep.
And no transfers out of Oral Roberts at this point, correct?
Nope. Oral Roberts, SDSU, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's one more. Or
I'm
having a brain lapse right now.
So there are transfers
Omaha.
Out of
no, Omaha's one. 1, 2, 3.
Your Omaha has transfers.
SDSU, Oral Roberts.
Are there transfers out of 7 schools? Because then that's it. That we only have 9.
Oh, dude, this has been a day. I can't math.
I know. I was thinking. I still 10. Feel like we have 10. I know. I know.
Yep. Oral Roberts, SDSU, the only 2. Sorry about that. Yeah.
I think for Kelsey, and that doesn't mean there won't be any post WNIT run. But I think for Kelsey, that says a lot. Also, so glad I just remembered this. Kelsey inked a contract extension today.
Let's go.
That's how fabulous. Long? I think, let me check. I didn't read the release when it came out, to be honest. I failed a midterm the other day, so I've been a little depressy, Bessie, but it's okay.
Sorry to hear that.
It's fine. I still have an 89 in the class. It wasn't weighted very much. It's fine. Where is this freaking release? Of course, because it's ORU Athletics, not ORU Women's Basketball, that posted the article. If you have something to say while I'm finding this, please go ahead.
Not much, you know. I got to fill out my bracket tomorrow, you know. Got to fill out my bracket. I always wait till Wednesday night. For the men's, I like to get a sense of how those 10-11 seed matchups go. How intense mm-hmm. is it? And then the women's, the same thing. After those play-in games are done, I stay up and I dive deep. All to just finish with a crappy bracket.
Is ORU that private? They didn't put it in the release. I have no idea what her contract extension is.
Oh.
I don't like that. I kind of want to know. Hold on. The World reported it. We'll see if they... Ugh, I'm not a subscriber. Gosh, dang it. Okay, well, we don't know how long it is. I hope that it's for a decent amount of time. That would be a very smart choice. It's clear what she's done in the program in 2 years. And to have... nobody transfer out at this point. I mean, just because you're playing postseason doesn't mean that people don't transfer out right away. So I think that they're in pretty good shape. I think they performed well this year. I think there were some times where they wished that they had performed better. But to go from where they were 2 or 3 years ago to this is pretty impeccable.
I liked watching them. And I know that you watched them a lot this year. And to sit with you and watch them on Friday – at the tournament, that was they're big, they're physical, like, and they get another year. Hopefully they all stay, or most of them stay, that core, right? Well, the core is the whole team pretty much with the playing time, but like if they can stay and get another year under their belt, they're gonna be fun, really fun to watch next year.
That's a Summit League championship team.
Absolutely.
Maybe not with what AJ's bringing, I guess, but but yeah, no, that's a championship team. That's a team that's a contender for sure. Okay, so let's talk about them, because I had started talking about them before you got here. ORU plays Grambling State Thursday night at 7 p.m. Don't know where that's going to be broadcast yet. I think probably ESPN Plus, because that's what Triple Crown has done in the past, but I don't have clarity on that. We will let you know on the Twitter when we know. As I mentioned, these programs have played before, not under who they're under now. This is Kelsey Music's second year and Grambling's coach's first year. It has been, I think, 13 years since these programs have met. Grambling is 22-9 overall, 15-3 in the SWAC. Pretty good. Pretty solid. Notable win, Arizona State.
No kidding.
Pretty good. Pretty solid. Yeah. Yeah. Grambling is third in offense in the SWAC. They score about 71 points per game. They're second in defense. I want to say they were allowing like 58. I, for some reason, did not write that number down. Here's the thing. ORU scores more. This is going to sound like some league bias, but 71 points is not enough to beat Oral Roberts. It's not. I have not watched Grambling play, so I don't know about their pace of play or their intensity. They do foul quite a bit. So do Ruthie Udomo and Jaylee Oglesby, though, on the season. So I think that points in the paint are going to be important, and we know ORU is good at that. So we'll see, but I'm going ORU based on what I know and based on what the stats told me.
And I got a couple of points here, too, that the Grambling, they only score 68.2 points a game, and they're undefeated when they reach the 76-point mark. So we know that Oral Roberts can score, but sometimes they can also let the other team kind of keep up with them. And according to, you know, this that I've got pulled up here, Grambling's a pretty good rebounding team, especially offensive rebounding. So second chance points, points in the paint, like you were mentioning, but second chance points would be a big thing too. I'm 100%, we're reaching the summit. So I'm 100% going bias here. I think that ORU's offense is too good. And just looking at some of these notes about Grambling, like this could be one of those 92-70 games, 92, you know, 15-20 point win for ORU.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean ORU. I think so. Maybe too. Not by that much, but.
But by enough. Decisively.
By enough. By 1 point.
Just by one. Also on Thursday in the WNIT, on the same side of the bracket, mind you. Not the same quadrant, but the same side, is USD versus Cal Riverside. Riverside was 18-13 overall, 13-7 in the Big West. Their notable win for me is over Utah State. It was their only Utah State's not Power 5, are they? I don't know who the hell is where anymore. Utah State's not Power 5, though.
No.
Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, big name school, if you will. They did beat Utah State by a point. I believe it was 52-51. Here's the thing. Riverside scores 58 points per game in cons-only stats, I believe, is what I was looking at. USD is used to scoring at a much higher clip than that. If the points are dropping, Yotes all the way, baby.
Yeah, everything I read on like a few sites, I didn't obviously read their notes about USD because we know how they play. UC River, I think USD's defense, as long as they're still motivated to play, right? Like if they're still motivated and stuff, because that, you know, you can accept invites to this, but it's like how motivated are when the going gets tough? Do you just go, whatever, I'm kind of done with ball this year? But if their defense comes to play, this one will be a butt-kicking because it does not look like UC Riverside has much offense. They're pretty good on defense, which is, you know, they can keep teams scoring decently low, but I don't think that'll be the case on Friday.
Yeah, I agree. North Dakota State actually got a first-round bye. That is a new thing.
That's awesome.
With the WNIT expanding to 48 teams. We don't know if they'll play at home or not because we need to know who their opponent is first to work out the bidding situation. We'll get the winner of Boise State and Montana. I don't know much about Boise State, but I do know that the Grizz went 13-5 in the Big Sky, and they won each of their Big Sky Summit Challenge games, one over the Yotes and one over Omaha. I believe the Omaha game was like 81-60. The Yotes was 74-61. I think if I'm remembering correctly, now in January, neither USD nor Omaha was playing their best basketball. But the Grizz do know how to beat summer league teams. That's what the data is telling me at this point. Again, I don't know a ton about Boise State, so I'm not sure. I can't say like which would be a better matchup, which one I would prefer for the Bison. The way the Bison played, whatever the hell day that was, I don't remember. Tuesday, last Tuesday in the championship game. There were a lot of turnovers, but I still don't think SDSU played poorly. I mean, it was a championship game that was a tough matchup between two teams that know each other very well.
Yeah.
And if the Bison play like they did then, sans turnovers, I'm still not super concerned. However, Montana and NDSU score very similarly at about the same clip. I think 72 points per game for Montana and 75 for NDSU. And NDSU doesn't, at least in the Summit, didn't play a lot of teams that scored the way they do outside of SDSU and ORU. So it definitely will be, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be one of those tougher, like a tougher Summit League game for NDSU if they get Montana. If they get Boise State, I don't know what to tell you because I didn't have time to research them.
No, that's fine. I just, for those that haven't looked up the WNIT bracket, this gets kind of fun because, as Madison said, so USD, NDSU, and Oral Roberts are technically all on the same side of the bracket and could be three of the four Elite Eight teams on that side. Could be. What's interesting is if North Dakota State wins their matchup, they will most likely have a matchup against Don Plitzewite's Minnesota Golden Gophers. And if the stars align in the college basketball world, if USD wins 1, 2, 3 games in the WNIT, that would set up a contest with either Minnesota or North Dakota State. And boy, oh boy, wouldn't we just love to have Minnesota come to the SCSC? Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be honestly so amazing.
Oh, man.
And actually, I want to look at this bracket quick.
While you do that, I do like the match. I think North Dakota State Montana would be a really fun matchup. I hope it's all on, like, I hope these are all on ESPN Plus too, or ESPN Plus as well.
I think they should be. Yeah, so Minnesota and NDSU, you actually only have to win one game to play each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. That's insane. And for NDSU and USD to play each other, NDSU would have to win 1, 2 games.
Two games.
Yeah, and USD would have to win 3.
And here's the thing, though, like, you look at USD, and it all depends, right? But the records and some of these teams, you know, UC Riverside, we just talked about, Northern Arizona, I'd have to look into, but I think I've heard about NAU, and it's a pretty good ball, pretty good squad that they've
got. Yeah, they went overtime with SDSU in the Big Sky Summit.
That's okay. So
that was like a 101 to something game.
So if they can get by NAU, the other three teams they'd have to play are Wyoming, UTSA, and Northern Colorado. So who knows? It's madness, right?
They played Northern Colorado this season, didn't they?
I think they did. Hold, please.
I want to say, like, three Summit teams played UNC.
Yeah, they did play Northern Colorado. 72-59 they won.
Okay. Noted.
Duly noted.
Would you believe that for the most important game to me, I actually have no notes because I needed to start the live because I was doing homework before this? What I do know and can tell you is that our girl, Drew Gilton-Arity, played at Utah before she transferred to SDSU for her final year. She did an interview with Midco
earlier. But wait, Madison, today, I suppose, NCAA, maybe yesterday. They don't match these matchups for stories at all. There's no.
Not at all. Never.
There's not a South Dakota kid on Utah right now. No.
She did an interview with Midco, and she said she felt a little bit like Mama Kelsey, like she was having to choose between Jason and Travis. And I thought it was cute. But Yeah, so SDSU will play Utah, I believe, at 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. So excited because I actually can watch it. I thought that I couldn't watch it because I'm going to be in Greensboro this weekend for a gymnastic meet to support a friend. And so I was like, Saturday night, like I'm in Eastern time. But then I remembered that it was 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. here. And I will be very much back in my hotel and in bed by then. So I can watch it. So I'm so excited.
So here's what I got for this matchup.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's the worst matchup for SDSU, but it's not. Like, if you look at something's got to give here, because according to this, when SDSU and Utah score more than 60 points, Utah is 20-6 and SDSU is 24-2. I don't think this will be a butt kicking. I think SDSU will absolutely hold its own against Utah. I think that they'll shoot it well against this defense. Both teams are really good at shooting free throws. This is going to be one of those late night ones where people are going to be watching because they see the 12 seed is in it against a 5 seed.
Right.
So I think this one's going to come down to a last possession. It'll be within 5. I'll give it within 2 to 4 possessions the entire game. I don't think this will be one of those that gets away from either team. They'll have their runs, but they'll keep it close.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for those that are kind of looking for what's ahead in this game, if it's a race to 60, according to this.
Yeah. You know, if you look at Utah's record, they're 22-10 overall and 7 in the conference. Doesn't look that great if you just look at those numbers. But if you start to get into who they played and who lost to, losing to South Carolina is nothing to be ashamed of, especially when it's by 9 points. They split with Colorado. They beat Arizona State, lost to Arizona overtime. As far as other ranked teams, those last two weren't ranked, by the way. But as far as other teams, they lost to Stanford by 2. They beat Southern California. They beat UCLA in overtime. They split with Oregon State, who was ranked both times. Just kidding. No, they didn't. They lost to Oregon State both times. They beat Colorado again. They lost to UCLA the second time. So maybe not the same UCLA. They did beat Southern Cal twice. So I don't know. I think I agree with what you said that it's not the worst, but it's not the best. I'm not mad at it though. I was pissy that it was Spokane because I was texting Megan Glover and I that night, and I was like, not gonna lie, I obviously didn't want a 15 seed, but I very much did want Columbus because I could drive there on my way to Greensboro and be there. I mean, there are other places I think we could have won. I still think we can win here. I wouldn't say I'm egregiously confident or anything. I mean, I like the 12-5 because that, like you said, that's the seed line where the upsets happen. So I don't hate that, but I think it's going to be tough. I don't know. I think it's going to depend on the one thing I've seen from SDSU. If there's any holes in SDSU, when they have to play fast sometimes, when they're playing fast of their own volition, they're fine. When they're forced to play fast, Oral Roberts, NDSU, Wisconsin, for some reason early in the season, they turn the ball over a shun. And sometimes it just comes down to that. You can do everything right, but if you turn the ball over. So I really hope that AJ has them in a position where when Utah pushes them, they're able to handle it. Because I think if they can do that, it's close and it's a toss-up. But if not, then I think Utah
wins.
Utah scores 78 points. What's SDSU scoring? Probably about the same. Before the tournament, it was about the same. Because I think ORU was at like 81.
I just had it up. 74.
74, okay. Is that conference only or overall?
That is according to the worldwide leader in sports, so I'm not sure. 32 out of 32 games. So, yeah, I think it's everything.
Of everything, okay. Yeah.
Just looking at just seeing if anything else for Utah stands out. 2.4 blocks a game. They turn it over. 14 turnovers per game.
So a couple scoop and scores maybe would be beneficial. Maybe those.
Yeah, and you know, and everyone knows AJ's teams are well disciplined.
Yeah.
Most, if not all, games. So it's just, yeah, getting points off turnovers, rebounds. Utah's got 38 a game. Is that right? Yeah, 37.8 rebounds a game.
Yikes.
19. So they oh, this is only going to give me field goal percentage. So I'd be curious what their assists. So they have 19.5 assists a game, too. They shoot at almost 48% from the field, 37% from the three-point line.
That's what I was going to ask. How's their perimeter shooting? Because I don't know that SDSU is the best perimeter guarding team.
Well, and there's a couple here that kind of – they've got one over 40%. There's a couple that have over 50, but they've only played a handful of games. Most of them are 38-39% shooters. From the free throws are pretty good. Pretty darn good free throw shooting team.
You can say damn. I've said it three times tonight. It's not a
big I think deal. I swore like four times the last time I was on my phone too.
Jordan, not your dark. We love it. J-Dick. Yeah, I need to not do that, but sometimes it just comes out. Yeah, so to recap, Thursday at 7 Central, we have USD hosting Riverside and
that's on Friday.
Oral Roberts. Not Thursday. What? Because that is not what Twitter said.
Yeah, everything originally was Thursday, and then there must have, I think there, from what I heard, there was something with the travel for UC that they had to move it to Friday.
Okay, so ORU's game is still Thursday. USD's game is now Friday.
USD's on Friday. Yep.
Okay, cool. Again, not sure on the broadcast info. I would assume ESPN Plus. We will let you know when we know. And then NDSU, second round game. Actually, don't know even what day that will be. We will let you know when we know.
Likely, the first round games are tonight. Tomorrow through Friday. Yeah, when the heck's Montana? Tomorrow? So I would assume that NDSU's is going to be the 23rd. Because if Montana boys are here playing first.
Montana is tomorrow.
I would lean NDSU on Saturday.
A day to travel. Yeah, probably Saturday. You're probably right. So plan for that. And then, of course, South Dakota State out in Spokane against number 5 Utah is on Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. I think we covered all of the time zones there. Also, if you are a league men fan, the SDSU men will be taking on Iowa State. SDSU 15 seed, Iowa State at 2. That is in Omaha on Thursday at 6:35 p.m. Central Time, I believe. A storyline there. I'm not going to lie. Joe and I, like, actually yelled. Like, we were watching the TV, and I saw the Iowa State pop up in Omaha, and I was like, do it, the committee. I dare you. I literally dare you to do it, not thinking they were going to do it. And I saw it pop up, and we were like, oh, my God. Did not think that they were going to do that. But if you're a men's fan, Summit fan, SDSU fan, that game is on Thursday.
Storyline. Again, yep. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Can we? And I know we cover women's basketball, but can we talk about that East region?
Yeah.
Like, are you joking me? I'm going to pull up the bracket here. If it lets me. So it has 4 of the Power 5 conference champions, doesn't it? Big 12 with Iowa State, Auburn, SEC, UConn, Big East, And then
well, Biggie's isn't technically a Power Five, but
that's true. That's true. I'm missing one.
But help they all Illinois. Are in basketball. Like,
Illinois with the Big, Big Ten. Ten. And on top of that, for the love of God, CBS, would you give me see there? Thank you. All right. And on top of that, it's got three Final Four teams from last year. FAU, San Diego State, and UConn. They couldn't have shared the love. Like, what is that? East is stacked with good teams, yeah. Good storylines.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the SDSU storyline. If anyone doesn't know, Iowa State's coach TJ Otzelberger was at South Dakota State for 2-3 years. I'm not sure how long it was. I was in undergrad at the time. It was right before I got there. Hendo was head coach when I got there. I think, or was becoming head coach when I got there. Matt Mims obviously came in under Otz at SDSU. Also, someone, I think it was Dave Brown from Midco, pointed out like 11 SDSU players grew up within 4 hours of Omaha. So even playing there is kind of like home for a lot of those guys, or close enough to home for a lot of those guys, especially like Charlie Easley, who grew up in Lincoln, and people like that. So I think it's a cool opportunity. The NCAA always says they regionalize. We know they don't, at least not for us. They'll regionalize and send us to Spokane, or regionalize and send us to Syracuse, or wherever the heck. But I mean, 3.5 hours down the road is pretty exciting. So if you can go, if you have the financial means and the time means to go, I think you should go. To the listener, I mean, it would be a great opportunity, a great experience. I would say it's a really good basketball team. Obviously, hope we win. Obviously, I know that's, I don't want to say a long shot, but like kind of. Iowa State's big. They're fast.
Well, and hey, listen, like it's, you know, when USD women made it and it was in Wichita, that was, I think, 7 hours. It was different in the fact that the other teams were there weren't really close to Wichita. Like they weren't, they were within drive. I think there was a couple that were like 7-8 hours. So they made the, you know, drive too. But you know, when we brought 6,000-7,000 folks to Wichita, like it's 100% worth it. Yeah. The tickets are a little expensive, but it's 100% worth it. This one's different. So if you can get your hands on tickets and you can afford to go and you can make it work, the atmosphere is, especially in that arena down in Omaha, it's so much fun, and you're going to be with other passionate fan bases that are local, right? Like Iowa State is within a decent driving distance. Drake is from Iowa. They're right there too. And then obviously Brookings is well within driving distance. Like it's going to be a raucous crowd there. Mm-hmm. So if tickets are.
Because they travel. Iowa State travels. They travel.
Yep. So it's going to be fun. So if you can go. Yeah, it just depends on which fan base has the overall deeper pockets. Because I was looking at tickets earlier today. I was going.
They were okay yesterday. About 100, 125 is what I would pay. Not that I can afford that. But that's about what I would pay. And that's what they were at. Or not yesterday. That's what they were at Sunday night. Also depends where you look. When I looked on my phone, they were like resale prices. But when I looked... when I went to CHI's website and went through them to Ticketmaster, they were much more available and they were much more affordable. So I haven't looked at it since then, but if you're looking on your phone and being like, what the hell, go through CHI's website and see if it's a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I mean, I do think there will be probably more Iowa State fans there. But if you can go, I think, like, I hope Brookings travel well. I do know... let me also say this. I don't know how big the allotment was. I assume it was small. I know for the women, it was kind of small, but also to go to Virginia Tech was pretty far and not that many people went. Like it really was just parents and stuff, family. But I know people that were like, oh, I'm going to see if I can get in on the allotment. Not that they're counting on it, but did not get in. So I'm sure the allotment is full with like parents family, and that's good. Let's add on to that. And if you can go, please go, because I think it would be fun for you. And I think it would be great for the team to have that. I also think it'd be great to show the NCAA that when you put us close to home, we will be there. Because then maybe it will happen again in the future.
Just not as a 15 seed against a potential Final Four.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be, we could avoid that part next time. But we'll take what we can get for now. So, all right. My voice is hoarse as hell. I'm trying to avoid coughing from screaming over the pep bands. that was wild. But thank you for tuning in. Based on the results this week, we will be back next week. Probably be back next week just to wrap it up anyway, even if, you know, all four teams lose this week. I don't think all four teams are going to lose, though.
We'll be back next week to preview the NDSU-Minnesota matchup.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't wait.
I cannot wait this weekend. Honestly, if that happens, I'm going to see if we can get Jory and talk to him again. Maybe I'll send an email out to Miles. Oh my God. That won't happen.
I'll see what I can do.
I could send an email or two. Huh. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm thinking.
If anyone listening wants to sponsor that.
Sponsored by nobody. I'm thinking, like, here's the thing. I would have to email, if they're both going to play on Saturday, I would have to email SIDs, like, on Saturday nights and Sundays, and with the game probably being on Tuesday. But you know what? I'm on spring break next week. So if they want to record interviews, like, ahead of time or whatever, I could do that on Monday. You got me thinking.
Let's go.
Okay. I don't have an outro video because I forgot to produce it. So when we say bye, the live is just going to end. No cute outro video for you guys tonight. But
that's right. Good luck on all your brackets, you schmucks. Good luck on all your brackets.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.